Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Elanor Retail Property Fund Investor Conference Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Glenn Willis, CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the results presentation call for Elanor Retail Property Fund. And thank you for your interest in this trust. Also, I'd like to apologise for any inconvenience in regards to the phone line. We must say that we're provided with an incorrect number. But thank you. I have here today Michael Balliver, Joint Head of Real Estate and Fund Manager for the Elanor Retail Property Fund, and Matt Healy, who's Head of Retail, and Paul Siviour, Chief Operating Officer for the group, and other members of the executive team. So we look forward to fielding questions at the end of this call. Just by way of overview, I'd like to comment on the performance of the fund over the last half, a half that was obviously characterised with challenges, economic challenges and market challenges that all market participants encountered. Having said that, Michael, Matt and the team have done a very good job in regards to the performance of the assets in the fund. The income assets in the fund demonstrated strong resilience, to quote that oft overused word now, but strong resilience, and that's a function of the asset selection and the investments that the team have made for this REIT, but also a function of the management of those assets over the period. And I'd be understating to say that there was an immense amount of effort that went into ensuring the assets performed over the period, and indeed throughout 2020 and the challenges that last year presented. So whilst the resilience of the income assets is very, very pleasing, the execution on the value-add assets is also very pleasing. The team realised on one of those assets being Northern Central over the course of the half and delivered an outstanding result for unit holders in that fund. So the fund, we believe, is very well positioned to continue to perform. And we'll talk about that a bit later. Having said that, we're very mindful of the modest size of the fund, but the assets of the fund are well positioned to perform, and the teams will continue to drive the performance of those assets. I'll hand it over to Paul Siviour now, the COO for the group, to overview the results for the half.
Thank you, Glenn. And turning to page 4 of the investor presentation for ERF in respect of the 6 months, 31 December 2020, the fund achieved core earnings of $6.5 million, which reflects a core earnings of 5.1 cents per security. And the fund will pay a distribution of 4.84 cents per security, which is struck on a 95% payout ratio. In respect of core earnings for the half, we would just call out three matters that were incorporated within that result. The first is that it reflects a $1.4 million gain on the sale of the Auburn Ambulance Station. This was an asset that was acquired adjacent to the Auburn Shopping Centre, and it was acquired for strategic purposes to assist with the repositioning of that asset. Not only has that been successful, but the team's now sold that particular piece of adjacent property for a strong gain. In respect of the half, there was a further provision in respect of COVID-19 of 0.5 million, and one is reticent to form views around the future, but we can see strong performance of the assets, and Michael will speak more about that. In addition, the result for the half reflected $500,000 of reduced NOI, reduced net income, as a result of the downtime of the Big W space at Auburn Central in respect of that repositioning project. The NTA per security as at 31 December is $1.38. That's up from $1.34 as at 30th of June 2020. And it particularly reflects the gain on sale from the sale of Auburn Central Shopping Centre in December for $129.5 million. Michael will speak more about that, I'm sure. We just point out in respect of the performance of the fund that rent collections have been 95% across the portfolio for the half. In fact, that number has trended up since it's closer to 96. And 99% of the tenants across the portfolio are trading as at 31st of December. The fund is well positioned to grow. Glenn's mentioned that it's a small fund, but we have growth aspirations. The gearing of 18.5% reflects paid out of debt post the realisation of the Auburn Central asset. It is very substantially below our target gearing range of 30 to 40% and so provides us with capacity in respect of growth and the acquisition of future assets. I'll now hand over to Michael Balaba, the fund manager, to talk through the particular performance of the assets in the portfolio.
Thanks, Paul. Just taking you to slide 5 of the presentation pack. Just wanted to call out and I guess reinstate the comments from Glenn and Paul about the resilience of the portfolio and the key metrics that we look at as does the market in reflecting that is the collections of rent, particularly during the challenging period of the 6 month period of this reporting, and also the major sales. Both metrics are a key to outlining, I guess, the quality of the assets and our basis for asset collection. As you can see here, the income assets have continued to show very strong collection rates of up to 98%, and that's continuing to improve as well. And the income assets showed a 10.1% increase in major sales, 8.5% coming from our supermarkets, and 18.6% coming from our discount department stores, mainly related to the strong turnaround in performance from the Big W at our Glenorchy asset. Just calling out the remaining, or the one value add asset, which is Tweed Mall. As most of you be aware, Tweed Mall is located right on the New South Wales-Queensland border, and as a result of border closures which were implemented in March and only really reopened on the 1st of February of this year, with the exception of one small three-week period, we had 40% of our trade area restricted in terms of getting access to the centre. That said, so despite that, our supermarket sales fell only 8.2% and our DDS sales fell only 3.4%. So in that context, we still think that that's a very good result and a very good outcome for the asset, and has responded positively since the border reopened on the 1st of February, as I mentioned earlier. Just in relation to the overall fund strategy, turning to page 7, we continue to focus on delivering investment performance through focusing on our investments in our value-add assets. The investment markets at the moment are providing some pretty good opportunities, particularly in the sub-regional space, and we'll continue to focus on growing the fund with a focus particularly on those assets that can be repositioned. And obviously using our management capability, which has got a proven track record of ensuring that we can drive very strong investment returns for investors. So in terms of the portfolio makeup now, following the sale of Auburn Central, we have one value-add asset. in Tweed Mall at $84.5 million, representing 40% of the portfolio, and $125 million worth of assets, income assets, which represent 60% of the portfolio, which continue to provide investors with strong cash flows, particularly off the back of the strong performance of the supermarkets in those assets. Turning to page slide 9 of the presentation, as we said earlier, the key objective for the fund is to continue to drive investment performance from value-add assets. We're pleased to announce the sale of Auburn Central last year, which we transformed from a sub-regional shopping centre to a triple supermarket neighbourhood centre in during 2020. So in 2019, we negotiated the surrender with Big W and introduced the Aldi into the centre. And despite the challenging leasing conditions during 2020, we were able to successfully lease up the balance of the space, resulting in a $2.3 million incremental net income for the property, on a $21 million project cost, generating a project yield of 11%. In addition to that, the asset re-rated from a cap rate of 7.2% when we acquired it for ERF in 2016 to an exit cap rate of 5.75%, reflecting the re-rating of the asset from a sub-regional centre to a neighbourhood centre. And the overall outcome for investors was a 24.5% IRR and a 4% premium to book value. Looking forward for the future in terms of our next value add opportunity, we're well positioned to take the Tweed Mall initiative similar to the initiative that we adopted for Auburn Central, to take it from a sub-regional shopping centre to a triple supermarket centre. Despite the short-term impacts, we still see the long-term repositioning opportunities for the asset to be very strong. And we commenced that process when we introduced Aldi to the centre as the third supermarket in 2019. And as we demonstrated earlier on the graph in on page 5, that resulted in a very strong increase in footfall and sales performance for the centre prior to March when the impacts of the border closures and COVID hit. So our strategy there is, again, between more is to transform it into a triple supermarket neighbourhood centre. As we probably mentioned earlier, the target CDS lease expired in September 2020. Target continued to trade in the centre, but not on a lease, which provides us with optionality to reposition the asset. We have agreed commercial terms with one of the full-line supermarkets in the centre to relocate to the current DDS space, and again start the process of repositioning the asset and right-sizing it towards a non-discretionary focused asset. And we believe that will generate both positive rental reversion as well as re-rating of the cap rate, similar to the case study that we've adopted for Auburn Central. And that is commencing now. We are embarking on the first stage of the repositioning of the asset in the near future. The other opportunity for Tweed Mall is to take advantage of the positive and favourable planning controls to allow the property to be repositioned into a mixed-use centre, mixed-use precinct, really, and that will be a longer-term proposition, but the COVID impact has been positive in that regard, given the positive trend towards lifestyle locations, similar to that at Tweed, or the Southern Gold Coast and Northern New South Wales. So just turning to page 10. As we said earlier, we've got a heads of agreement with a major supermarket to replace the discount department store to transform the asset to a triple supermarket neighbourhood centre, and in doing so, unlocking the mixed-use development opportunity for the precinct. Some of the mixed-use opportunities are introduction of a Commonwealth Government agency, which we submitted a EOI pre-COVID, and that's still yet to play itself out. And also, as I said, the strong demand for lifestyle locations provides, increased opportunities for residential demand. Take advantage of the lifestyle location that the centre sits on. Just turning to page 12. Just calling out here the value add assets, and we only have one remaining value add asset. The income assets continue to be, we believe, conservatively valued at 7.7% and a 95% occupancy, with strong leasing traction, particularly in Gladstone, where we're seeing some strong demand and seeing an improvement in the occupancy there over the next 6 to 12 months. Turning to page 13, the portfolio has reduced from $321 million to $209 million, mainly as a result of the sale of both Auburn Central and the Auburn Ambulance Station in the half. Turning to page 14, as we can see there, the current holdover, the 9% major, is the holdover of Targeted Tweed, which we're well progressed in moving forward with our repositioning strategy for the asset. And the FY22 expiries are one of the major supermarkets at Tweed, as well as IGA, both of which are in accordance with our repositioning plans for those two assets as well. Just turning to page 15. The income assets, as we mentioned earlier, have continued to demonstrate their defensive investment attributes, particularly given that they are neighbourhood shopping centres. Sales campaign for the income assets have been delayed over the 2020, particularly during COVID-19, and two of the assets were in Queensland, so impacting the ability for us to execute given Queensland border closures. Having said that, we still see increased market demand for this type of asset, these income assets, particularly given their resilient performance, sustainability income, and the strong performance of the supermarket anchor retailers. I'll hand over to Glenn now to take you through the future strategy and outlook for the fund.
Thank you, Michael. So, as I mentioned earlier, we believe the fund's assets are in a strong position. The income assets and the Tweed asset being the single value asset in that portfolio at present. And as Michael mentioned, there is a lot of work being done to execute on that the value add strategy for that investment. And again, we are re-embarking, if you like, on the divestment of the income assets as we seek to bring on new value add asset opportunities into this fund. We're acutely aware of the scale of this fund and the need to make it scale efficient, if you like, but most importantly, we're acutely aware of the need, the overarching objective of growing security holder value for ERF unit holders, and all that we do with the assets in the fund, and potential strategic investments strategic initiatives and capital management initiatives that all go towards growing security holder value for ERF security holders. And suffice to say that we are working at pace to grow security holder value. So thank you for attending this this presentation, and we look forward to taking questions now.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Ed Day from Moelis Australia. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Michael, just a quick one on the valuation for Tweed. Could you sort of go through the assumptions that the valuer includes for the DDS being replaced by the supermarket or the heads of agreement you've got in place?
Ed, until such time as we've got an agreement for lease, which is binding, the valuer does not reflect any, doesn't take that into account at this stage. We've got a heads of agreement. Okay. We don't have a binding lease or agreement for lease for that transaction.
And the target's just been captured as in holdover?
As at current play today, yes.
Yeah. Okay. What sort of, I guess, what would your expectations be upon a deal getting done there with regards to valuation?
The relocation of one of the supermarkets replaces one of the majors, but leaves behind a vacant anchor box. So until we do, we won't see any real valuation movement until the repositioning of that vacant tenancy major box is de-risked.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We'll now wait for any more questions to come through. Your next question comes from Gerard Ahot from Holt Asia Investment Pty Ltd. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. I have a general question regarding the share buyback. So if you could elaborate a bit more on the rationale of the share buybacks in view of the small size of the fund currently. Yeah, thank you.
Jared, it's Glenn Willis here. So the share buyback obviously occurred post the sale of the Auburn Central asset. As to whether we acquire more shares or buy back more shares, that'll be a function of the opportunities that are available to us for the fund, and we are evaluating opportunities, value-add opportunities for the fund at present. So that so whilst we're evaluating opportunities, we'll pause on that buyback.
So, does that mean that in case of a future acquisition that we may borrow more money from the banks to fund future acquisitions?
It could well do, but it'd be within the range, the gearing range that we stated for the fund, which is 30 to 40%.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Willis for closing remarks.
Thank you very much. And again, thank you for attending this this results call for the Elanor Retail Property Fund. And I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Michael Balliver and Matt Healy and their team for the efforts and the results they've achieved for the fund over the period. As I said before, suffice to say that the efforts to achieve those to get the assets to perform as they did over the period were very significant, and we're acutely focused on growing shareholder value for this fund. Thank you very much and have a good day.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.